Please open your Bibles to the 34th Psalm, Psalm 34, your Schofield Reference Bible. That's page 614. We'll be reading just three verses, verses 8 through 10, and we'll read those in unison. Once more, the 34th Psalm, verses 8 through 10, and page 614 in your Schofield Bible. Let's please stand, as we always do, for the reading of the Word of God. Okay, let's read, please. Ready? O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. O fear the Lord, ye His saints, for there is no want to them that fear Him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. And then the first verse of the 23rd chapter, or the 23rd Psalm, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for thy word. We thank you for the blessing of just being a part of this church. Thank you for those who visit with us today. We pray that you'd help us each, whether stranger or a friend of the church, or a member. We pray that you'd help us all to concentrate upon that which is preached, for surely thou hast prepared something for us, and thou hast individually suited the sermon that we might profit from it. Help us, we pray, and help our preacher in Jesus' name. Amen.
As always, on Lord's Supper Day, I make this promise to you, and as always, I will keep it. It is now, according to the clock up there, 11:40. I will not be preaching past 12:10. I think I'll be closed before then. I promise you also that you will not be dismissed after 12:30, and I think I can promise you that you'll be dismissed before then. I always want you to know that by 12:10 I'll be finishing. You won't worry how long it's going to last. You'll know the link at the service at the outset. I want to speak this morning on a little line. I've never preached on it. I've never heard a sermon on it. The title of my sermon is, Thou Shall Not Want. I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I hope you'll listen very carefully. I make it very plain. I do not think God wants us to want anything. Let me say it again. I do not believe that God wants us to want anything. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And again, our text verse a while ago, they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. He's dead sure wouldn't want any bad thing. So it means they that seek the Lord shall not want. Doesn't say they may not want or should not want. It says they shall not want. That means, if I understand that correctly, and I think I do, very simple, if you want anything this morning, you need to start seeking the Lord. Because they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I hope you listen carefully. It'll be brief, but very important. Father, as I speak this morning, I could be used of you to bring contentment into the lives of literally thousands of people today. I could be used of thee to change discontent to contentment, dissatisfaction to satisfaction, unrest to rest, war to peace in our breasts. Help me, please, to help my people. Amen. Let me ask you to listen very carefully, and because the time is short and I'll not be speaking for a long time. I've been preaching for, as you know, 54 years. I've been pastoring now for, it'll be 53 years this summer. I have never wanted another church. when I had that little church in the country with 19 members. I planned to stay there all of my life. I never wanted another church. When I had that little Grange Hall Baptist Church, whose building is out here on our campus at Howells Anderson College, I planned to stay there all of my life. I never wanted another church. When I pastored the church briefly in Henderson, Texas, we had 200 or 300 members, but I planned to stay there the rest of my life. I never wanted another church. When I pastored for almost 7 years in Garland, Texas, at Miller Road Baptist Church, I never wanted another church. I have never in all of my life wanted another church. I have never wanted another car. Mrs. Howes and I started off in 1947, I think it was, with a 1941 Dodge. As you know, I named it Jezebel because it was cantankerous and seldom ran, and it was a female. And but I've never wanted another car. I've never looked at a car and said, I wish I had that car. I've never wanted a bigger car. I never have. I'm 73 years old. I've never wanted another house. Never have. We lived in that little apartment with a wood stove and a kerosene kitchen cook stove and no sink. We had to use the sink. Had to use the bathtub for a sink. I never wanted another place to live. We had a little parsonage in East Texas, and I told you about it time and time again. We had back bedroom was constructed. Well, it was about to fall in, and Ms. Howes and I could not get in the back bedroom together at the same time. So we slept in the front bedroom, but the back bed. And there was a rat on the back porch. That rat was about that long, and it was a bass singer, and was about that long. It was on the back porch. The rat was there when we moved in. It was there when we moved out. We tried everything under the sun. We tried a rat poison, and he thought it was the vitamins, and he grew on the rat poison. We tried a rat trap, and he sent us a thank you note for the toy. And that really didn't happen, folks. And but we never got him, by the way. He lived there on the back porch, and finally we decided just to have joint custody. And so we never wanted another house. I can say this today. I do not recall the last time I ever wanted anything. I don't remember. In fact, I am not on my prayer list. If you check my prayer list, you wouldn't find one single thing on my prayer list that I'm asking God for me, because I don't want anything. Now, I'm going to tell you this morning why I don't want anything. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Now, if I could get you this morning to quit wanting, I could make you happy. Because most of your unhappiness is caused by things you want or something you want that you can't get. But I could make you happy if I could just keep you from wanting, and I can tell you this morning how not to want. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Now, what are you saying? There's really this. The Lord is my shepherd, and so that's all I want. And I have him as my shepherd, and that's he's what I want. And so because of that, I don't want anything else. David wrote that psalm, I think, when Absalom had rebelled against him, and David had fled the city of Jerusalem because Absalom, his son, was fighting against David's forces. And David was in a little place called Mahanaim. He was out of the palace. He had stepped down from his throne. He had taken off his robe. He had laid down his scepter, taken off his crown, and was out in a place called Mahanaim while his son was fighting for his throne and trying to replace David as the king. And there was David. He had no place to live. He did not have his house. He did not have his friends. He did not have his country. He did not have his job. And there he is out there saying, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." What was he saying? He's saying, "All I need is Jesus." That's what he was saying. All I need is Jesus. Once it was the blessing, now it is the Lord. Once it was the feeling, now it is His Word. Once His gifts I wanted, now the giver own. Once I sought for healing, now Himself alone. All in all is Jesus. Of Jesus will I sing. Everything is Jesus, and Jesus is everything. What David was saying out there was, I don't want anything. I have all I want. Let me tell you right now, the minute you sell out to God, then you will have all you want, because He's all you need, and when He's all you need, He'll be all you want. So David said, now, hey, we wouldn't blame David if David had said, I want something to eat. We wouldn't have blamed David if David had said, I want a place to sleep. We wouldn't have blamed David if David had said, I want my boy to be loyal to me again. We wouldn't have blamed David if David had said, I want my throne back. We wouldn't have blamed David if David had said, I want the crown on my brow and the scepter in my hand, the robe on my back. Again, it's mine. God put me there, and I want it back. But David said, I don't want anything. Why? Because I have the shepherd. That's why. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Then, Psalm 34 is much the same. Again, written by David. David was running from King Saul and said, I'm going to kill that young squirt. He's going to take my throne. He's going to sit on my throne. He's going to be king. He's more popular than I am. Even now, the girls are singing songs about I slain the thousands, and he has slain tens of thousands. That young squirt, he's going to sit on my throne. He's going to get my crown, and I'm going to get him. And so Saul said, I'll kill David. And David ran from Saul, not because he was afraid of Saul. Good night, David looked somebody a lot bigger than Saul. His name was Goliath. But David said, I'll not lift up my hand against God's anointed. And to keep from fighting Saul, he runs. He's a fugitive from justice. He's running from the king. He's in a cave, probably the cave of Adullam, living like an animal in the hills. Wild animals sought him as their prey. And David said, in my text this morning, he said, they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. What's David saying? He's saying that I'd love to get across to you this morning. If I could shake you and get this, if I could get a teaspoon of this and force it down your throat and close your mouth and make you swallow it, I'd do it. David is saying, I happen to be a Christian. I happen to be a child of God. I happen to have my name written in heaven. And it was David who said that blessed is man, the Lord will not impute iniquity or sin. David said, okay, I'm a fugitive from justice. I don't have a house. I don't have a bed. I don't have any friends. I'm running for my life. But I am seeking God, and that's all I want. Let me describe this audience this morning. To some, seeking is the enjoyment. You hear this all the time from much a worldly, godly psychologist, that it's more fun to seek than it is to get. And so, to some, seeking is the enjoyment, not the having. Now, to others of you this morning, the acquiring is the enjoyment. When you get it, you enjoy. That's your enjoyment. Now, seeking it, okay, but you have it now. Then to others, the satisfaction of one appetite creates another appetite, leading to constant dissatisfaction. And that, by the way, that's what the world is. You say, well, I'd like to have this. You get it? And that very thing creates in you an appetite for something else. Did you ever buy your wife a new pair of shoes? Don't do it. Because you got to have a purse to match the shoes. And then you got to have a dress to match the purse. And that's the way the stinking devil is. He puts something out there and said, boy, this is what you need. This is what you need. And you say, boy, I'd like to have that. Listen, I don't care what it is, brother. The world is a fake. It's veneer. And the devil's a stinking liar. You listen to me. You get what you want that the world... I'm not talking about the devil now. I'm talking about the world. You get what you want the world has to offer. And I promise you, the acceptance of that creates another appetite. And you want something else, which when you get, creates another appetite for something else, which when you get, creates an appetite for something else. So some of you, you get your pleasure because you're seeking something, and then you get it, like the child that gets the doll, you want the box instead of the doll. Others of you, the getting of it
the acquiring of it is your excitement or your pleasure. To others of you, you never are satisfied. You have that little house, and you want this one. You have this one, and you want this one. You have this one, and we just moved into a condominium. We were just going to buy the condominium and move all of our furniture from the house on Greenwood. But the furniture didn't fit the condominium, so we had to buy a new living room suit. But the tables didn't match the living room suit, so we had to buy tables. But the mirror on the wall didn't match the tables. We had to buy a mirror. And the candelabras we had didn't match the mirror, so we had to buy candelabras. And then that made the candles out of date. We had to buy new candles. And then we had to buy a new cigarette lighter to light the candles with. I'm trying to say, bless God, thank God today, I don't want anything. I don't want anything. And that's why I'm happy. I've said so often, two ways to be rich. One, get what you want. Another, want what you have. So I'm rich. I cannot think of one single thing I want today. So I'm rich. Now, others of you, your ability to have can never meet your wants, so you can never be happy. To others of you, you wisely limit your wants to your ability to acquire. And that's pretty good. It's not an A+, but it's a passing grade. Because, by the way, you should never want what you can't acquire. And so you can get what you want, and that's fine. But there is a graduate course, and listen carefully. I shall not want. Listen to me. I shall not want. Didn't say I want what I can get. I shall not want. And then the psalmist said, they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. So it is the best way to live not to want anything. Fellas, if I could make women take a pill to where they wouldn't want anything, then I could sell them by the droves. Every guy here want a dozen of them. Or at least one. But now listen, ladies. When you got us, you don't need anything else. Look at this right here. Look at that. Man, ladies, if you got that, you're going to want a lot of stuff. But I'm trying to say that there is a way to live where you don't want anything. And the psalmist said, I don't have a place to lay my head. I don't have a house in which to live. I don't have a table on which to eat. And if I did, I don't have anything to eat on the table. But he said, the Lord is my shepherd, and that's all I want. I have what I want. I have him, and he's all I want. And then again, running from Saul for his life, hiding in the cave of Adullam, the psalmist said, they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. That means if you seek the Lord, bless God, he's all you want, he's all you need, and you'll not want any good thing. So, here's another way to get rich. Want what you have. Listen carefully. Dorm girl, want your dorm room. I said, want your dorm room. Because that's what you have. College wife, want that small apartment. And quit driving around these $500,000 houses and drooling. Because you get a $500,000 house, you'll drool over the $1 million houses then. I'm trying to say that when you get what you want. Let me, I hate to say this, but it may be a sin to want. You say, now hold it, preacher. It's a sin if I want something. I said, maybe. I'm not sure. It depends on whether you're going to vote me out if I say it or not. But I'll tell you what. It is a pretty piddly way to live. It's a piddling way to live. But, brother, look at me carefully. I don't want anything. Now, of course, I have a lot of things. But I didn't want anything when I didn't have a lot of things. I want the shoes I've got. I want the suit I've got. I want the condominium I've got. I want what I have, and I always have been that way. And you'll be 10 times happier if you'll say with the psalmist, I have, God has my shepherd. The good shepherd lives in here. I'm his child. I'm on my way to heaven. I have him. I don't want anything but him. That's all I want. Or say with the psalmist, as you said, they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. I'm just going to seek God's presence. I'm going to walk with God. I'm going to have my prayer time. I'm going to live in this book. And I promise you this, and I'm not telling you what I think or what I've heard. I'm telling you what I know. If you just get yourself wrapped up in God and serving Him, you won't care what kind of place you have. You won't care what circumstances are. By the way, He is all you need. And the psalmist said, I'm out here. I'm away from my throne. I'm out of the palace. I'm away from my scepter, my crown, my robe. I'm away from my friends. I'm even away from my son. My son is rebelling against me. But the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not walk. So, listen carefully. You say, but how does that mean you don't take anything? Let me illustrate. You gave us a beautiful new town car for our 40th anniversary. You know what I wanted it when I got it? There's nothing wrong. But hey, do you know, I wouldn't trade that town car for anybody in this room except Roy Moffitt and Dick Kennedy. But no. Hey, I want you. I want your love. And if I've got your love, that's all I want. Now, when you give me a town car, then I want it. By the way, they do make Rolls Royces, too, you know. And I hope to have another anniversary this August. Don't you dare. But I'm trying to say, when you... Okay, look at it this way. For 54 years and about 6 months, Ms. Hiles and I have been married. Now, I want Mrs. Hiles to want me. And of course, as you can see, she does. But I want her to want me. And I'm enough. She's not here. She's not well this morning. But so I'm glad she's not here. But I want her to want me. Now, follow me carefully. She does want me. And as I said last Sunday morning, she makes me feel as loved as a man could feel. Now, I want her to want me. Now, since I'm convinced she wants me, I'm constantly trying to get things to give her. And that's what God says. God said, if you'll want me, I got a heap of things I'll give you. Because I want you to want me. And that's why David could receive the blessings of God so much, because David wanted God, and that's all he wanted. So I'm trying to say this. Your wants and your haves should arrive at the same time. Boy, that's good. Your wants and your haves should arrive at the same time. So you never want. And this is what God wants for you. Illustrate. We had a lady who used to work here, and some of you folks will know who I'm talking about. But she's not here anymore, and I don't know where she is. She's working at college. Her husband left her. I mean, be careful now. And I want to talk to all you single gals now. She wanted a husband. That's dangerous. Want a husband. She was absolutely consumed with wanting to get married. She came to my office with a house. I don't want to be single. My Bible said, I shall not want. And be careful. But she wanted a husband. And she wanted a husband. And she begged God for a husband. And she got one. And be careful. She got one. He was almost homosexual. She found that out after she got him. And wrecked her life. The most dangerous thing in this world is for you to want something. Because you don't know what you need, but he knows what you need. Consequently, but you say, hold it, Brother Isles. Wait a minute. How about those prayer promises in the Bible? How about Psalm 31? Delight thyself also in the Lord. He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Or how about Matthew 6:33? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things shall be added to you. Exactly so. He will give me the desires of my heart. But do you know what the desires of my heart are? for you to be happy, for you fellows to be happy, for you to have what you need. That's the desire of my heart. I, as I said a while ago, I'm not even on my prayer list. I have prayed for two things in the last 25 years. One, that wedding band right there. Not that one, but I want a new wedding band for our 50th anniversary. And I feel terrible about that. I've knelt at the altar and asked God to forgive me again and again and again. But I didn't tell Ms. Hiles. She had no idea, but she bought me that wedding band for our 50th anniversary. Now, one other thing, I won't tell you what it was, but one other thing that I wanted, I'll tell you, is that watch right there. I gave Ms. Hiles a Rado, is it called Rado? I gave her a Rado watch, and I saw these men's Rado watches, and I thought one Christmas I'd like to have that. Now, in 25 years, that's not bad. But I'm not on my prayer list. So, if I delight, here's what he's saying, delight yourself also in the Lord, and you can't think of a single thing you want, and you can't think of a single desire you have, because when you've got Him, you've got it all. But you'll want those you love, have their needs met. And so my prayer list has a lot of names on it, but not mine. And a lot of things I want others to have, but not one single thing. Why? I have Him. My name is written in heaven. I'm a child of God. And as I say most every Sunday, not a single sin is recorded against my record. What more would I want? Good night. If you have the King, what more would you want? I shall not want. I said, your wants and your haves will arrive at the same time. So you never want. And this is what God wants for you to never want, because He wants you to want Him. And this, ladies and gentlemen, is mature Christianity. Now, wait a minute. Hold it. A little child is born, and that little child says, that's my ice cream cone. I want it. It's mine. Now, that's not bad for a child. Mine. 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 But you folks that are 40 years old, you don't cry for ice cream cones. You don't say, mine, mine, mine. A baby Christian, I would not be surprised if you didn't start praying for things for yourself. But some of you folks have been saved 25 years, and you're still begging for fighting over the ice cream cone. It's time you graduated to the graduate course of saying with David, I shall not want, and they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. You said, hold it, preacher. Does that mean you don't appreciate what we give you? No, as soon as I see it, I want it. If you slide a quarter under my door, I'll slide it back. No, I'll keep it. I want that quarter. You give me box of cookies, then I suddenly want those cookies. But I absolutely refuse to go through life wanting anything I don't have. And the minute I get it, my want and my desire arrive at the same time, and the answer the gift and the desire arrive at the same time. I know I'm not getting through to you because you're going to keep on wanting, and be unhappy, unhappy, unhappy. But you're looking to happy. I'm 73 years old. I'm supposed to be sad. I mean, I got one foot in the grave, and the other is sliding over a banana pillion. I'm supposed to be sad. But I'm not. I'm happy today. And the sun shines bright. The clouds have been rolled. Why? I don't want anything. I have Him, and that's all I want. You say, preacher, I understand that. Okay. Remember the story in the Song of Solomon about the little Shunammite girl? She had a little shepherd boy, poor as Job's turkey. That means you ought to lean up against the fence to gobble, you're so weak. But poor as Job's turkey. And she loved that little boy. That's all she wanted. And she had him. King Solomon comes up and says, I want you as one of my harem. And she said, I don't want to be one of your harem. I'll give you clothes, a wardrobe, the lack of which no one has in the kingdom. I'll give you jewels, I'll give you diamonds, I'll give you everything. She said, I don't want everything. I've got what I want. I've got my little shepherd boy. I've got the good shepherd. And that's what the psalmist meant when he said, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." And so there's nothing I want. Now follow me carefully. As God sees your wanting what you have, He increases your has. Mrs. Howells has me. I promise you this, Mr. There's nothing she wants. And she's never has been the kind of person that wanted stuff. Because when you got the King, what else would you want? But I promise you this. I promise you that because she wants me, I want to give her some things that she'll enjoy. And as I give her things that she... And I'm constantly looking for those things. As I give her what she enjoys, the moment she takes it, she enjoys it. But she doesn't want it until she gets it. I have Him. I'm His child. He's my Father. Jesus is my Savior. I delight myself in Him. I enjoy talking to Him and letting Him, through this book, talk to me. So I don't want anything. Well, you say, "Preacher, we want to give you something that you want." Well, go ahead and give it. As soon as I see it and get it, then I want it. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. And that's all I want. That's what the psalmist was saying. Now again I say, it doesn't mean that you don't enjoy what you get. And as the psalmist received things, he enjoyed the things he received. But hear me carefully. He never wanted them until he got them. Would you bow your heads, please?
Please open your Bibles to the book of 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 in your Scofield Bible, page 1270. And beginning with verse 12, we'll read responsively through verse 15. The text verse is the 15th verse. And there's one other verse I'll read for you after that. Let's stand, please.